Blog Talk Radio.
Capital Markets Today, where industry experts discuss capital markets, trading, real estate, and mortgage lending, is brought to you by Neighborhood Stabilization Capital Management, where private, nonprofit, and public collaboration are providing industry and social solutions as well as investor returns. Please visit www.nscm.us and learn more. Now your host of Capital Markets Today, Louis Amaya.
Welcome to Capital Markets Today and the IMN series of NPL podcasts. Capital Markets Today listeners can use code SP20 for a 20% discount to IMN's NPL RPL Symposium being held on June 8th and 9th in Dana Point, California. According to a recent article in Bloomberg, the U.S. securities regulators are investigating whether bonds backed by single-family rental homes and sold by Wall Street's biggest residential landlords used overvalued property assessments. Several of the largest BPO providers received a request for information from the SEC in March, requesting information about the BPO services they provide. The agency has been looking at whether BPOs were wrongly inflated, potentially serving as a starting point for an industry-wide probe. The SEC is scrutinizing how BPO providers compete for business and whether their customers shop for providers willing to put the highest value on their properties. Joining the podcast to discuss the valuation process as it relates to NPL and RPL and single family rentals deals is Tom O'Grady, CEO of ProTech Valuation Services. ProTech has been providing residential real estate valuation services since 1977. The process of valuing the underlying home values of RPL, NPL, and SFR deals coming up next on Capital Markets Today.
This podcast is brought to you by NS Capital Management. NS Capital Management supports the acquisition and management efforts of various investment funds in the residential debt and real estate asset classes. NS Capital Management offers its partners transparent portfolio management methodologies, fund administration, proprietary technology, in-house REO management, and unique NPL acquisition channels. Visit NS Capital Management on the web at www.nscm.us.
Tom, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Louis. Thanks for having me here.
Before we get started on the questions, can you give us a little bit of background on ProTech and a little bit of history and what you're doing currently?
Sure. You know, ProTech is hard to believe in its 40th year, but we are a major player in the residential real estate valuation space. So we provide a lot of different services to originators, servicers, and secondary market players around risk and value in their residential portfolio. So everything from we're a full AMC on the origination side with a network of appraisers across the country. We also manage a network of real estate brokers who do broker price opinions and other type of evaluations. We provide a lot of data and analytics and reporting on the housing trends that are going on in the industry. So we're kind of all things residential real estate valuation for those three market segments.
So what's unique about the valuations when it comes to NPL and RPL deals? There seems to be there's a lot of moving parts and there's a lot of assets to be valued. So what does that look like?
They tend to be, at least in our experience, kind of on the lower range. I think we find the most common price is around $100,000 on these assets. They come often in, when we're working with some of the bigger sellers that are putting pools on the market, it's, large pools that are national in scope that have different regional concentrations. So you kind of got to hit the ground running on these things and turn those valuations around quickly so that the sellers can get them out in their bid process. So it takes some scale as far as being a national player. It takes some depth as far as being able to have The feet on the street to get out there and look at these assets quickly, especially when there's some concentrated markets. A big thing that our clients are looking for are there any red flags? Are there any internal or external influences on value? They want us to kind of filter those up and make them aware of them so they can take appropriate steps if there's things in the portfolio they're unaware of. And then valuation accuracy is a big thing. I think there's needs to be trust between sellers and buyers in this market. So, I think working with a valuation provider who has not only the scope and scale, but, kind of a proven process to make sure the market value or the opinion of price that comes back is as accurate and supported as possible.
What's your recommended methodology if we order BPOs all the time and we often get one BPO that says the property is worth 150 and another BPO says it's worth 75. How do you go about reconciling two different values, and do you actually offer a reconciliation product that assists buyers in reconciling two different BPOs?
We do. We work for a lot of different buyers of notes, whether they're NPL, RPL, or other. And often when they're getting the file, they've got multiple values, and there can be, or they're doing their own valuation, and there can be a variance. So, the important thing with a reconciliation product is that you have good data, good access to data in that local market, so you can understand what's driving value, what are the recent sales and listings, indicating as far as accuracy. Sometimes we find that one report uncovered some information that was instrumental in developing an accurate value, and maybe the other report missed it. But by being able to look at, everything from photos to assess, condition and influences on value, reading the commentary, doing your own research, looking at MLS and public records to understand what transactions have transpired, and really using best practices, you can often identify where those discrepancies lie and help the buyer reconcile that.
So there's not really a fully automated reconciliation process. Someone physically has to review two BPOs, pull up the comps, use other valuation tools to come to a conclusion. There's not a product where you can just, input two BPOs and automatically reconciles and comes to a potential reconciled value.
There are. And, similar to AVMs that are used in our industry, they can be great tools, but they can miss certain things because, data and analytics gets you so far. But if you've got a property that is an outlier, or you've got, some external influence on value, like, an abandoned building next door or a train railroad running through the backyard, automated tools aren't necessarily going to pick up those things. So, you can use that, but you take some risk with it. If, our experience in pricing of NPL, RPL is that, the nature of the deal is that everyone wants to feel it's a win-win and they're not overpaying for an asset. So I think in my experience, the industry hasn't gone to automated tools because it can miss some of those things that a set of trained eyes can pick up on.
Got it. So what's the typical valuation process for sellers of these pools?
Obviously the GSEs are very active in this space, as well as some private investors. They do tend to use a exterior or drive-by broker price opinion. There's really not interior access to these properties. They're looking to turn those in a quick period of time, maybe 3 days or so. Kind of back to why a human-driven product versus a fully automated product, I think it's the inspection of the property is critical. That local real estate broker can identify the external and internal influences on value, things that can really drive a difference in price, a significant difference in price, and identify some of those red flags. So whether that's, you know, highway, railroad tracks, crime in the area that they're aware of, you know, proximity to a good school or a golf course, you know, those things can be positive or negative. And, you know, on the internal influence and value, condition is a big, big player. You know, it might be that someone hasn't physically seen this property in a while. So is there property damage or loss? Are there code violations? Are there any environmental hazards? These are things that a trained real estate broker on site can pick up on. And obviously that has a lot of bearing on the final reconciliation of the value. Go ahead, Lewis.
It seems obviously so much is reliant on the broker. How do you ensure that you're picking a good broker?
Well, that's important. I mean, any provider of valuation, whoever's going to engage them, you really should do your due diligence. You should understand what their process is. And that's, you know, that starts with partner onboarding. You know, are they verifying their license? Are they, you know, verifying their E&O insurance? Are they getting samples of work? Are there expectations about experience? Are they scorecarding these individuals? You know, really looking at the quality of their product and making sure that orders are flowing to the broker who's most appropriate to take it. Not just proximity, but familiarity with the type of property, whether it's a multifamily or a single family or high value or, you know, whatever it might be. Understanding their experience and their performance in that segment of the market, and making sure that you're not just shotgunning orders out to a bunch of brokers or doing some kind of round robin, but that there's some real logic about matching a property with a broker who your supplier is confident has the skills to value it accurately. Do they have training going on? Do they audit their reports? Do they use data and analytics in their QC process? I think that's where kind of the automation fits in, is you want to make sure your valuation provider has access to tools, data to in their QC process to ensure that the values coming in are accurate. And that's a combination of automation and you know, manual review.
So as far as the BPO itself, you know, they provide photos, comps, and estimate of repairs. Can you go a little bit more into what the seller is looking to put into there and what a buyer should be looking out for?
Yeah, sellers right away, by using a company that has brokers out there looking at this, if you come across a property that's uninhabitable, it's a total loss, it's got extensive fire damage, maybe it's not the type of property you thought it was, it's commercial or mixed use, maybe it's found to not be occupied, code violations, a lot of things that the seller want you to identify and notify them right away. So there may be some hidden issues in that pool that they're unaware of. And by us making them aware of that, they can either remove those from the pool or reprice the asset appropriately. So I think that's a big thing that we can do for a seller that will drive the trust of the buyer and make for a more seamless transaction.
So some of the best practices that sellers utilize to ensure accurate values, I would assume as a buyer, they are generally buyers run their own values as well. And these best practices should be used by the buyers and the sellers, correct?
Yeah, I would agree. Often what we see is that a seller will use something like, the broker price opinion, and the buyers will rely on that to a great extent, but want to do their own due diligence. So they might not go out and get another valuation done in the field, but have either a partner like Protech or internal staff or whatever do some kind of reconciliation on that BPO. Maybe it's not reconciling two values, but it's just validating the conclusion of the BPO, which means, you know, reviewing the report, but also pulling in the sales and listings that are competing in the marketplace that aren't on the report and ensuring that the value is accurate, or identifying if it's not and, you know, can negotiate from there.
And tools that buyers can use for reviewing and auditing a seller's BPOs, what does that look like? Are they the similar tools that a seller would use to create the BPOs, or are there other specialized products out there that that a buyer can utilize?
Yeah, again, I think some form of reconciliation product or process that they may do themselves or outsource is the most typical. But, you know, obviously there's AVMs. There's just simply looking at, you know, MLS public record data. You know, some buyers may do their own BPO or some kind of evaluation. But what we see predominant is having some level of trust in the BPO and having the BPO not only support a market value, but again, identify any flags. You know, is there a condition issue? And if there was some fire damage, water damage, you know, what was the damage? What are those estimates for repair to bring that up to a finance, you know, a financeable asset? So you got to trust the BPO in some sense, but through some kind of reconciliation process. And again, I think that's, you know, a review of that BPO, some research on their own about looking at the market data, market trends. So any data and analytics that you can pull in to either, you know, support that BPO and check that box off that you're comfortable moving forward, or raising an issue that, you know, you've found something that raises some doubt about that BPO and you need to take some further steps.
Is there any red flags buyers should be looking for specifically when analyzing a seller's BPO?
Yeah. You know, does it conform to zoning? Has it been found uninhabitable? You know, is the value only in the land because of issues with the structure? You know, are there any code violations? Like, you know, that could be a very, very broad, but, you know, trash, you know, access, you know, maybe there's no two access points to the property because it's blocked or whatever it might be. So, I mean, there's a lot of things to look out for. Condition, you know, you want to understand condition, and if it's not an average or better, what are the issues? Those should be identified in the BPO report. There should be estimates of repairs for those so that a buyer can understand, you know, does the value reflect a discount for that, and, you know, what investment in the property might need to be made to make it a financeable asset.
You know, a big red flag for us is whether or not a property is rural. Is there I know there's certain databases out there that you can bounce property addresses that will give kind of a status, whether it's rural or urban, that sort of thing. But what do you see from a, and not to say that, you know, rural properties are not a good buy, you know, everything has a price, but what are certain things to look at? What are some red flags to be aware of for a property that is rural?
Well, you're right. I mean, rural is, you know, it's, when you get into suburban and urban markets, it can be a little more cookie cutter. You know, there's ample, you know, very similar properties, similar characteristics in, you know, close proximity to comp it to. Appraising or valuing a property in a rural market is definitely more challenging. You have to go out further to find comparables, and they can be in different types of neighborhood, different types of construction, different years. You know, it's a looser set of parameters that you have to work with. So what we always identify whether the property is rural, urban, or suburban, and we use U.S. Post Office and, you know, population density information to identify that. That definitely helps us make sure we're working with a broker who's in that market, who understands that market. We're taking some extra QC steps with that. But at the end of the day, you need to put a value on those properties. The one thing that we were a little surprised at is, you know, the pools that we've been involved in, overall we're seeing about a 20% rural population. And, you know, I don't know, I guess it was my gut, or I was surprised. I thought it would be higher with some of these, you know, non-performing or reperforming assets. But we, you know, we find that they're 80% of them are in urban, suburban markets. But you're absolutely right. When you get into that rural market, it's a more difficult thing to value. And, you know, you can't always put a – is there a point value that's correct? No. There's a range of value that that property is likely to go for. So you've got to do your best with limited data and comparables. But that's where the expertise of the broker and having strong reconciliation comments and presenting a strong argument of how you've bracketed that property and identified the high end, the low end, and reconciled to a final value.
You mentioned a little bit about some of the characteristics of the pools that you've been involved with valuing. what are generally an overview of the characteristics of the more recent transactions that you've been involved with in valuing?
We see the predominant value is lower than than I might have expected. You know, $100,000 seems to be the most common value, and it's a pretty tight range. You know, most properties are clustered from 50 to 150. We maybe surprisingly have seen that the vast majority of these properties are in average or better condition. Somewhere around 95%. So you're really looking at less than 5% of these properties being in fair condition, and even less than 1% being found in poor condition. As I said, you know, the majority are suburban and urban, about a 40-40 split, and then you got another 20% that kind of fall into that rural bucket. We've also seen concentration. So Southern California, Arizona, I know King County in Washington State is a big one. Harris and Dallas counties in Texas, we see a lot of volume there. Florida is a significant, Miami-Dade, but even Central Florida up the coast. And then kind of in the Northeast, we see a lot in coastal New Jersey, Nassau, New York, which is Long Island, and, you know, Southern Connecticut, you know, Bridgeport and areas like that. So it's... lower value properties, not necessarily all rural or all in poor condition. In fact, quite the opposite, and you know, seem to be concentrating in some of those markets I mentioned.
And are these NPL and RPL deals that you're valuing?
Yes, they are. So we do Protect those work with investors, you know, on the sales side, but we also help a lot of buyers with the due diligence.
Okay. Interesting. Southern California, is interesting. I don't see a lot of California and Arizona myself, but maybe I'm not seeing those transactions. Is there any value?
Well, there's a lot of players in the market, and we do work with some of the, you know, we definitely work with some of the high volume ones that are putting these big bids out, but you know, there's a lot of players in this space, but you know, that's been the experience of Protect.
Excellent. So on the intro, I talked about the SEC looking into potential use of BPOs in overvaluing properties to increase the value of the securitization. Just from being a buyer and a seller, you know, some BPO providers are more easy to work with as far as influencing valuation, which has always been an issue in this market. What are your thoughts on the SEC getting involved, and how do clients pick their BPO providers?
Yep. Well, you know, I was I'm aware of the SEC investigation. Protect has not been contacted by the SEC ourselves. You know, I think there was some rental pools that triggered that. you know, value, I think the important thing is the sellers and buyers being comfortable with who's providing those valuations and understanding their process to ensure that there's controls in place so that, you know, this overvaluing does not occur. You know, my experience is sellers don't put any influence on me asking me to hit the price. Most sellers in this market want a fair market price, you know, because they want to move, you know, pools in the future. They want to create relationships with buyers that you know, continue in good faith, and there's trust there. So, you know, we've found that at least a lot of the sellers that we work with have done a significant amount of due diligence, you know, auditing us and looking at our process and making sure they're comfortable that we have the controls in place to ensure that we're providing accurate values in a consistent manner. And, you know, you look at everything. I mentioned onboarding before, but, you know, does the broker or agent you're using have a license, and is it in good standing? You know, are there any claims against their E&O? Has, you know, is your valuation provider, you know, do they run background checks as part of their process? That we do that on every single, you know, agent, broker that we, and appraiser that we work with. You know, are there any prior lawsuits? Are these individuals on any kind of industry ineligible lists? What's their education look like, their years of experience? You know, do they have any specific, you know, obviously appraisal designation, but if they're a broker agent, do they have any kind of valuation designation or training? So we're pretty rigorous, and we need to show our clients that we are rigorous, that our panel has gone and, you know, gone through that vetting process. And then it doesn't end there. You need to have a scoring methodology in place, using automated tools and manual review and getting that feedback back in, and, you know, so that when you go to assign work, you know, to an agent, it's not, again, it's not a shotgun or just a random approach, but you understand the characteristics of the property, you understand what agents are qualified that are, you know, proximate to that property, you know, and if it's high value or low end, you understand which your agents, you know, perform better in different segments of the market, and you have some process to make sure you're putting that order with a broker who's capable of providing accurate price, you know, market competitive price. And then we have ongoing auditing, and from that auditing, we identify trends. We have one-on-one training. You know, even does the broker understand the assignment? You know, so if we're asking them to look at a property from a home equity standpoint or a NPL deal, it's important that, you know, the letter of engagement with that real estate broker, that they understand the market, the reason for it, and are valuing it appropriately. You know, I think conflict of interest is a big one. So sometimes you've got brokers who can also get listings from the same company they're getting BPOs from. And at least, you know, our approach, and I know many of our competitors don't allow that. There can't be any conflict of interest. Obviously, if I'm going to ask them to value a property and they may get the listing, I think there's a significant conflict of interest there, and we're not interested in exposing ourselves to that or the agent. So we're pretty strict about that. And then the whole QC process, you know, it's a human endeavor valuing properties, and it's important that we use data and analytics up against the report that comes in. You know, we've got a lot of rules in our forms and guidelines. So if an agent uses a comp in an urban area that's outside of a certain, you know, distance from the subject, we'll flag it, you know, and a million other rules. And we'll flag it, and we'll ask them, okay, that's outside of guidelines. You know, it's not a appraisal is or valuation is not a black and white game, but, you know, there can often be reasons, but we'll flag it and ask them, you know, either you got to change your data or you've got to provide an explanation. And all those flags that come in get looked at manually, and we understand, you know, are they supporting their reason for stepping outside of, you know, ideal guidelines on this report. And, you know, so having access to data to flag, like, you know, have we done this report before? Has the valuation changed more than appreciation in that marketplace? You know, what's going on? There's a lot of things, you know, are the public records different, or the MLS data that we have different from what the broker's reporting on a subject or comparables? So a lot of things that you can use to flag potential issues and reconcile them before delivery of that BPO. So I think in a nutshell, you've really got to do your due diligence on your valuation provider and understand that they're following best practices and they've got controls in place, you know, to ensure consistency and accuracy. And I think that, you know, the sellers we're dealing with in this marketplace, that's very important to them because it's their brand, it's their name, and obviously they want to create a good relationship with buyers. They want to get fair price, but they also want to get, you know, a relationship that continues with future pools they might be putting out of the market. So they do. They take a hard look at what we do.
It's interesting that regardless of how much technology is in this space, at the end of the day, it, like you mentioned, still a human endeavor. There's got to be eyes that are reviewing this to ensure the quality of the work. I just don't ever see that going away, you know, completely. I have one last question.
I don't know. Amazon's going to start dropping packages on my doorstep when I order them. So, yeah, we might be doing something similar in the future with drones.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
Drones doing some of this visual verification.
You know,
but I think that's a long way, and I think there's also interpreting what you see, and the human element is very important. I'm half joking, but the human element is, I think, very important. That local market expertise is important, I know, to both sellers and buyers, and there's just no easy way around that.
You know, what would be really interesting is that if your firm was able to provide an electronic valuation, like BPO, on screen that included a YouTube video of the Google Maps, because what we do is we pull up a BPO and then we pull it up on Google Maps, look at the photos all around, we look at the neighborhood, we look at the house next mm-hmm. door, we look for, you know, anything. If you can embed that in evaluation so we can just pull it up and that runs, and then also embed realistic and good repair estimates. I mean, those are the two areas that we always struggle with, right? So we get the pictures of the property, we get pictures of the comps, but we really don't get any pictures of the neighborhood 360 degree that Google is able to provide, and we go online and do that. And then the repairs seem to always not really be accurate because, you know, obviously they're not contractors. They're just it is an estimate. But if there was some way to embed those two things into an electronic form, I think that would be interesting. You just pull up the BPO and you see the YouTube video of the surrounding areas, and so you don't have to waste time pulling up the property and look doing all that sort of thing.
Yeah, it's interesting you put that up because those are definitely two hot button issues that we hear in the marketplace. You know, some of the Google Maps and some of the technology that's out there, ProTech, and I'm sure some of our competitors are using that in the QC process, but, you know, that is something that we're looking at. You know, how do we deliver that functionality to someone like Lewis who so they don't have to go hunt it down themselves? You know, so I think that's going to be seen in future versions of BPO and evaluation products. You had a second point. Oh, repairs. Repairs, I think there's a play for big data. We are working with a lot of data, you know, and we're kind of in a beta stage, but we do have the ability to crunch data and say, you know, is an adjustment for this appropriate in this market based on, you know, a much larger set of properties. And I think, you know, the insurance industry wants to get there. The mortgage industry wants to get there. Appraisal industry wants to get there. And I think that's coming. I think that's coming down the pike. And we're working with different players in that space to find out, you know, we do a lot of training with brokers. We make sure their adjustments are consistent, you know, positive, negative adjustments when, you know, depending on what they're, you know, superior, inferior. But also that they seem accurate. We do a lot of training on that. But at the end of the day, I think there's a play for analytics to crunch a lot of big data and say, okay, is this adjustment for this issue appropriate in this marketplace?
Interesting.
So
yeah, it'll be interesting.
We can show you more on that in the future.
Excellent. One final thought on just the valuations in general, as far as market. Any areas where you potentially are seeing bubbles, or home values should be continuing to increase or flatten out? Just a quick thought on that, and then we can wrap it up.
Yeah, I don't think there are bubbles. You know, we look at affordability, and it's nowhere like it was in the run-up before the crash, before, you know. But there's, you know, there's hot markets, whether you're looking at, you know, Denver or San Francisco or wherever. But again, you know, it hasn't broken through that affordability issue. I think underwriting's still pretty tight. We think that in some of those hot markets that have been hot, you know, since the recovery started, that they will flatten out, you know, in an environment of rising interest rates. Certainly the lack of supply of homes has helped drive that up. But I think, you know, what happened before was not it wasn't driven by the market. You know, it was rates that were you know, false. You know, anyone could get a mortgage at any price, and you know, that kind of underwriting just doesn't happen anymore. So I think, right, you know, market fundamentals will keep this run up intact, and we do some forecasting. Markets like that we think are going to certainly not drop, but slow down and flatten out years ahead.
Excellent. Well, Tom, thanks for coming on the podcast. I really appreciate it, and look forward to talking to you at the conference.
Thank you, Lewis. Look forward to seeing you. Take care.
All right. Thanks. That wraps up today's broadcast. Please subscribe to Capital Markets Today on iTunes and download every podcast to your smartphone when it's published. Join the Capital Markets group on LinkedIn and stay connected to the real estate, mortgage, and capital markets industry. Today's show is brought to you by NS Capital Management, extracting value through effective asset management. You can find NS Capital Management on the web at www.nscm.us. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll talk to you next time.
Hi, this is Darren Bloomquist with Realty Track. We're proud to partner with Capital Markets Today to offer three special subscription offers to listeners of the podcast. First of all, a free one-year subscription, 12 issues to our award-winning housing news report. Secondly, a 60% off discount to Realty Track's premium online property research tool at realtytrack.com for $199 a year. That's 60% off the regular monthly rate of $49.95 a month. And lastly, we'll give you 50 free marketing list leads of potential notes to purchase or other types of leads based on your criteria from the RealtyTrack marketing list platform. All of these are available by just simply emailing marketing@realtytrack.com and referencing the Capital Markets Today podcast.
Capital Markets Today is a leading industry content provider. Please visit Capital Markets Today at www.capital-mt.com for industry data, downloads, news, blogs, and to listen on demand to all past podcasts. Don't forget to subscribe to Capital Markets Today on iTunes to have the latest podcasts downloaded to your smartphone automatically, giving you the flexibility to listen at your convenience.